The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States Heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
All right, this is the WrestleCast. This is episode 111, and I'm Samuel Kulunga, and stuff happens, and that's Didi, and this is Don. And so what's first on the agenda here, Don?
Oh, we're going to do whatever news you've got, and hello to all the spot monkeys out there that are listening to episode 111 of the WrestleCast.
Oh my god, sizzle. Okay, so the biggest news that we got so far is that Linda McMahon has bought herself a cabinet seat. Did you see this?
I did. I heard about it tonight. Breaking news. Yeah.
Breaking news. The Small Business Administration. What she knows about small business, I have no idea.
I mean, the WWE used to be small one time.
Yeah, once upon a time, yeah.
Long time. From something.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Ben Carson can be a housing director or whatever, I guess anything's possible.
I mean, hey, he picked a dude that is in favor of, like, coal production to be the leader of the EPA. I mean, it's just a piss you off tour of cabinet positions.
You know, like the lady that's going to be like the head of education, like believes like we should bring back child labor. I guess. Okay. Let's see. So WWE has removed both Jerry Lawler and Lita from regular TV duties.
Why?
So WWE has confirmed. Well, Jerry, because he's old, and Amy, she just didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh.
She had, you know, people to do and things to see.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay. So yeah. So they both have been given legend contracts instead of like full time contracts, and they took him off the pre show panel. And Lawler is because, you know, I mean, you saw what happened to Jim Ross, where like, you know, because he was an old man or whatever, they slowly took him off TV. Same thing here with Jerry. So both are still affiliated loosely with the company and maybe brought back to television on network specials for special occasions and stuff.
So it didn't have anything to do with them just downsizing the size of the show.
I didn't even see it. Like, what happened? Like, was it just...
It's already like 10 Rosenberg. Minutes now.
It was like Peter Rosenberg and who else? Booker T.
Yeah, it was Peter Rosenberg, Booker T, and Renee. But it was only like 10 minutes, though.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even see that. So who would y'all like to see, you know, doing the... Well, not the Chuck Weiss pre-show anyway, but who would y'all like to see doing the pre-show panel?
That's an irrelevant question, sir, because you know the motto here.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like what would you make you... What would make you tune in? You know what I'm saying?
Put a little
Eva Marie in there?
Well, that'd definitely be for Don's sake. For me, I would need, like, Edge, Christian, Trish, and, like, seven Samoans. Like, I need, like, you have to stack the deck if you think I'm watching anybody's pre-show. That's what I need. I don't know what you need, but that's what I need.
Hateful. You're a hateful woman.
Why am I hateful?
I don't know.
I didn't even say anything mean. It's not like I said Lillian Garcia in her, like, you know,
oh my God, stop that.
In her saddle. That, like, that's what you would do. I didn't do all that. I just said some cute people. That, you know.
So someone else made a Lillian Garcia reference to me earlier. Just, like, you know, messed up my whole day.
No.
Look, what I was talking about, I was looking at the graphics that were on the screen at Raw, and, like, there was, like, a huge grammatical error. And then my friend said, I think Lillian Garcia was responsible for that. I was like, man, don't do that to me. Okay, so AJ Styles has suffered a minor ankle injury. So Styles got medical attention in the ring after the show was over. He was also being attended to after the match. So it's not clear at this point how Styles' injury will play into, you know, his... Oh, we already saw that. Spoilers. It's not clear at this point how Styles' injury will play into the match or if he will be able to wrestle on Tuesday night or be limited, since it would likely have been more of an angle than a serious main event match or his status as far as house shows, since he's the key star of the brand right now. So hopefully he'll be back soon.
Do you recall seeing how he hurt himself?
Yeah, it was off a springboard. I think the one that he did on the ladder.
Okay.
Or the forearm that he did on whatever that was. Okay, so let's see. There was something else that I saw. I gotta look for it now. So yeah, since I can't find it, I'll just tell you about it. So did y'all hear about Colby Carino and his bag of drugs that they found on him?
I don't even know who Colby Carino is, sir.
Steve Carino's son.
Is he important? Does he wrestle? Does he beat anybody?
He wrestles, yeah. Okay, man. All right, screw it. Forget it. Next. The Young Bucks have re-signed with Ring of Honor and New Japan, so two more years.
And they can only do PWG as far as independent in the United States.
Right.
And they're going to wrestle.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Oh, okay.
So let's see here. So I guess we'll do a TLC.
Why would that be later? Why wouldn't you just do the news now?
Because it's part of my little final battle review.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
All right, Don, you said you were going to do the TLC.
Oh, you got it. Okay, we start off, of course, with the Say No to the pre-shows. We have a 10-man tag match. It's American Alpha, the Hype Bros, and Apollo Crews. Welcome back, sir. Versus the Bob Villains, the Ascension, and Kurt Hawkins. American Alpha hits the Grand Amplitude on Simon Gotch, and they get the win. So, cue the pyro. TLC starts. We get Orton and Wyatt versus Slater and Orton for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Harper takes the spear for Randy on the outside. Back on the inside, Bray is doing a spider walk, and it distracts Rhino. Orton hits an RKO out of nowhere on Rhino and gets the pin. And your new SmackDown Tag Team champions are Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. So for the first time ever on the main roster, Bray Wyatt has a title belt. And it's glorious. Grand glorious. What do you think about the match? Any thoughts, suggestions, ideas? Go ahead, Dee.
No, I was thinking out loud. I didn't actually have anything to add.
Since you were there live, how did this play to the crowd to start the show?
Yeah, I got nothing. This crowd just wasn't into it today. At all, for nothing. Well, I mean, the show's, I mean, well, it was just funny because, like, traditionally Dallas crowds have been hype. This card just sucked.
It seemed like it was okay on some spots. It seemed it came across better than, I guess, what you're portraying being there, but.
Sour.
Oh well. We have a Dean Ambrose interview on AJ Styles and their TLC match later tonight. Then we have an AJ Styles interview answering Dean Ambrose's interview. Then we get Nikki Bella versus Carmella in a no DQ match. Nikki wins with the Wreck Attack 2.0 after spraying Carmella with the fire extinguisher. Excessively with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, she was like, did she think she was really on fire or what happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she just, got carried away, got caught up in the moment. After the match, Carmella says that Natty attacked Nikki at the Survivor Series. So Carmella out here snitching.
Her total diva's friend.
Yeah. What did you think about this fight, Dee Dee? Were you satisfied?
Sure. It's fine.
What did you think about Nikki Bella's straight backs?
I enjoyed it. They were a little more realistic for a match than long flowing hair. So
it was kind of MMA-ish.
Mm-hmm. It was very Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. Rousey? Rousey? Whatever.
Rousey.
Sure.
You were right the first time. Go with your first
Rousey.
Time.
Rousey.
Reese, Ruzy, whatever.
Back on the rails, we have an interview backstage with Daniel Bryan and The Miz, where they again declare their hate for each other. Miz versus Dolph Ziggler, the IC title ladder match.
This was a pretty good match.
It was a very good match. Miz gives Ziggler two kicks to the Ziggles and grabs the title to retain the IC title. After the match, Miz gets a promo. He thanks Daniel Bryan for motivating him to win the match tonight, which was an all-time classic.
They need to move away from these two because, like, they're not going to wrestle. I don't know. It was weird.
You don't know what they have in store. Daniel Bryan can recruit somebody.
Yeah, that's all good and fine, but then, like, it'll be a thing where, like, Miz will be like, oh, you never beat me yourself. I mean, unless they just do a thing where, like, he just puts the yes lock on.
Hey, look, Daniel Bryan might not renew his contract in 2 years, and on his last day, he'll just wrestle the Miz. What are they going to do, fire?
Well, they won't let him go out there. That's one thing. I mean, I don't know, whatever. I mean, they need to stop trying to hype this, like, something's about to happen, because it's that.
Strangest things have happened, sir. Nobody thought Goldberg would ever be wrestling again, either.
Well, yeah, but he didn't have that many concussions.
Hey, Daniel Bryan says he's fine.
Yeah, I can say I'm fine all day long until I'm blue in the face, but, you know.
Daniel Bryan's doctor says he's fine.
Hey, unless Joseph McAroon or whatever his name is clears him, it's a no-go.
Yeah, that's just for liability purposes. If they didn't have that concussion lawsuit already pending, might be.
Yeah, if like eight different people were already suing them for the same thing.
Right. Up next, we had Baron Corbin versus Kalisto in a chairs match.
Everyone got up to leave. Like, no, I'm not even joking. There were people, like, I was pointing out, like, all of the people that were getting up to leave during this match.
Well, they actually missed a very surprisingly pretty good match. Baron hits Kalisto. No,
I saw most of it. It wasn't that great. Come on.
Oh, it was good, dude. Baron hits Kalisto coming off the rope with a hard chair shot. Then he follows up with, not the new six, but the end of days on the bed of chairs to get the win. Then we have Natty backstage in her interview, but she's not answering any of the accusations from Carmella earlier in the night. Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that the Miz did bring up that he was going to give participation trophies and stuff like that. He was talking about, I forgot, did he say Daniel Bryan was getting a participation trophy or someone? But yeah, like that's where that seed was planted right there.
Okay.
On that show for later.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to see that. Unfortunately, they were going to the package to hype the match. Match, yeah.
So you didn't see that come out on TV?
No, sir.
Oh, okay, probably did.
So we have Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss, SmackDown Women's Title Match, Tables Match. Alexa powerbombs Becky off the apron through a table, and she wins the SmackDown Women's Title. Yay! Sam, thoughts, criticisms?
Yeah, it was just a tables match. I mean, they did a big move and then set up a table, tease someone going to a table. Do another big move, set up another table. You know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just pretty big to me.
Are you ready to put some respect on Liz Cake's name now that she's got the belt?
No, I'm not. I'm really happy where I am. I shade her height as she's one of the like three people in the world who's actually shorter than me. You know?
And that's what I'm saying. That's messed up. You should actually be rooting for her because she's a champion of your circle.
Okay, you know what? I don't like her. You know why I don't like her? You know, ever since the election, I can't with them, right? Just in general, right? And then she looks like, she gives me a little Children of the Corn. She gives me a little, you remember that movie where the crazy people came to the door in masks? She gives me that a little bit. Like, I'm just uncomfortable. So, no, I don't like her. I'm sorry. She's not awful. It's just a personal thing.
Okay. Well, at least she's higher up on your list than Rosemary. I guess I'll just take that
mm-hmm.
and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Main event, Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles. TLC World Title mm-hmm. Match. Ellsworth comes down to ringside. AJ attacks him. Dean makes a save and gives AJ dirty deeds on the stairs. After Dean kicks AJ out of the ring, Ellsworth gets in the ring and tips Dean off of the ladder through two tables that were set up on the outside. AJ finally recovers. He gets in the ring, scales the ladder, and grabs the belt to retain the WWE title. And that was TLC for this year. Contrary to Sour Patch's belief, I thought it was actually a pretty good show. I was pretty much satisfied. I got what I came for. Mm-hmm. Liz Cage championship, you know, title ring.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, and Bray Wyatt got a title. So yeah, mm-hmm. I was pretty good. Anything after that was great. Baron Corbin and Kalisto turned out to be a better match than anybody expected it was going to be. So,
well, that's true.
I got what I wanted out of it too. I had a nice nap.
Sir, you could have just saved your $39.99 and stayed at home.
Hey, you know.
In a comfortable chair and pillow.
You get to go out, you get to socialize, you know, there's people, there's free electricity.
You don't even like people. What are you talking about?
Hey, I love gatherings, though. It's funny.
Oh.
He's one of those types.
Mm-hmm. You know who he is? He's one of those two little angry Muppets who, like, judge all the other Muppets at the theater.
Yeah, the old man, the judges.
Yeah, that's Sam.
Yeah. I'm watching this GIF right now of Bailey juggling her Bailey Bears.
I feel like that's a euphemism for something nasty. Is that a thing?
No.
See, you didn't see it on Monday Night Raw when she was in the hallway?
No. And I watched Raw, but I don't remember any bears or chuggling.
Well,
I guess. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You ready to move into the Monday Night events?
I'm still trying to get over DD calling me Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah,
I need some time.
It's so accurate, though. Like, how could you be mad? These are just our facts.
Did y'all enjoy my my Periscope videos, even though they were only like 30 seconds?
Yes, I enjoyed all of the in-between match Periscope videos. Yes, sir. Very good work.
I was rewatching them, and a lot of them didn't pick up the talking that we were doing because I was asking questions of my friend.
Who your friend?
So a lot of that didn't come through.
Who your friend?
My friend, Paige Turner.
Oh, your famous friend.
Yeah, one of them. I'm kidding.
I swear, you know Paige and you know Ember Moon, and all of a sudden you think you're special.
Yeah, my mama says I'm special.
Bet she does.
All right, Didi.
I'm going to spit water everywhere.
Okay, let me see here. So I guess we're going on to that other horrible show that comes out, the one that comes on Monday nights. This one wasn't that bad, though.
To stop calling things horrible. Eventually people are going to wonder why we review horrible things.
I've been wondering that.
Just so sour.
It's extra sour today. Like the I bottom know. Of the bag sour.
He's sour like somebody stole his phone or something. Like, are you okay?
I'm fine.
I heard you about to get some good overtime hours. Like, you popped
it's the retail. He works in retail, and it's officially the holiday season. I think he's
a little bit burnt out. Probably heard, like, all I want for Christmas 17 times. I get it. I understand.
I was threatened. No, I wasn't threatened, but somebody like, came up and said they were going to show up there every day until they got the one thing that they wanted, which I can't give it to them. So.
Oh, my.
No, not like that. See, you're the one
I didn't even say anything. I just, okay. Okay.
The one thing that's on everybody's Christmas list.
What's that?
I can't say because it'll gives away what I do.
Well, it's that didn't give away what you do.
Don't lead into the story if you can't give us a payoff, Mr. David Bryan. Do.
Or does it? No, because they sell that thing in a lot of different places. Is it like an exclusive?
No, but you can kind of put two and two together after that.
Oh, you're being so difficult. Anyway. Well, can you like send us a message?
He went to Jared. I think he went to Jared.
He ain't gonna know damn Jared. Tell us in messages because I'm at the end of the story now. Thank you.
Well, speaking of Jared, did you see the guy that went to K Jewelers at the pay per view?
With Natty.
Yeah, like of all people.
But it's better than last year when they went with our girl Naomi, and she said it's like traditional and modern all at the same time. And it's like, no, those words don't go together.
I'd rather not have someone who's like currently involved in like a heel.
And then it was like literally the clip right before that. It was like that was piss poor planning. On
really?
That. Yes. Yes. It was funny. Like Carmella said, Natty's the one who beat your ass up, and then they cut to the Jared commercial, and it was like, what? What?
That's funny. She's been on Nice and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see your buddy Becky Balboa?
Yeah, and that interviewer was horrible too.
They're all horrible.
She was like, I don't. But then again, Becky was kind of horrible too. She was like, I don't want to talk right now. And then she kept talking. It's like, no, you say, I don't want to talk right now. And then you leave.
No, you said it wrong. It's like, I don't want to talk right now.
I don't know how to do that accent. So I quit trying. Because it's awful.
I'm surprised she found her way to
the max do it for us. Because she's the best.
Mm-hmm. Is she still in Israel getting her life?
I don't know. I haven't been checking the Instagram.
Yeah, after all, she is, you know, Chicky Papua. Anyway, Monday Night Raw, live from Austin, Texas. The show begins with a previously on, like it's an HBO show or something. Seth Rollins comes down to cut a boring 20-minute promo. He says he has to get something off his chest, and that is that he wants Triple H. He talks up making bad life choices, like leaving your fiance for a Nazi. And then he brings up breaking up the Shield to a chorus of boos, which kind of makes me wonder, why did you have to remind people about that? He said he wants Kevin Owens, but he can't get Kevin without taking Jericho out of the equation. Kevin Owens comes out and says that he and Jericho had a fight, a best friend's fight. Did you and your best friend ever have a fight like those two?
Like Jericho? Yeah, kind of. Yeah. We're not best friends anymore.
Did you like tell him, like, stop interfering in my matches?
No, it was more like... It was whiny. It was a different context, but it was very whiny. It was very bad.
Okay, so Seth would know.
It was very Caucasian. Yeah, it was a Caucasian argument. Yeah.
Okay, so he said Seth would know about these things if he had any friends. Owen said that he's giving Jericho three gifts, His first gift is Jericho versus Roman Reigns for the U.S. title. Also, at Roadblock, Seth and Jericho will have another match, which is his second gift. His third gift is Rollins versus the Smiling Babyface Big Show. Big Show versus Seth Rollins. Big Show has lost about 100 pounds.
Has he?
Yeah, he has. He was like way heavier than that.
Oh, he still looked big to me.
No, no, he's still big. He just lost weight.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he came out slimmer in his bigness.
I didn't say he came out, you know, svelte or anything.
I'm all right with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, creep caster.
So, Big Show, like, would you?
We know what DD thought about it.
That's what I'm asking.
About who?
Would you? Is Big Show on the list?
Oh, of course. I told y'all he was on the list. He's on it. Mark Henry's on it. Them only two big ones on it, I think. Oh, no. Bray was on it before he had the dreads. Yeah.
before he went back to his roots.
Mm-hmm. Before he got a little too ethnic. Yeah.
Right. See, it's all that hanging out when you date. That's what it is. So does it. Okay. So at one point during the match, Big Show pulled Seth up by the hair with one hand, which was pretty amazing. Owens keeps shouting instructions at Show. Show does not like this. Owens is up on the apron barking. Show picks up Owens, who appears to be sandbagging him for a second. However, Show is still able to lift him up for a chokeslam. He presents Owens' carcass to Rollins and walks out, allowing himself to be counted out. He applauds his own decision while standing on the ramp. After the match, Rollins smiles and pedigrees Owens out of the ring. So Jack Gallagher promo video, his debut, is up next. So Jack Gallagher against Daivari. The two men adhere to the code of honor. Every time Daivari wrestles, they have to mention his brother. Did y'all notice that?
Context clue, sir. Reference points.
Jack is very proper in the ring, fixing his hair every chance he gets. The match goes just a couple of minutes with Jack winning with the running drop kick. During the match, Jack gives Daivari a very sick headbutt to the chest. Gallagher offers a handshake, as gentlemen do. And Daivari shakes it, and then takes out Jack's knee, and then chop blocks him. So, heel tactics. On the graphic for the next match, the tag team number one contenders match, it says winners faces the New Day next week. It's some bad grammar.
They didn't have Titus spell check on, obviously.
Apparently not. I mean, you see, Titus is walking around backstage handing out flyers for the tussle in Texas. Backstage, Lana and Rusev are arguing. Enzo wants to help the damsel in distress.
I mean, you was right the first time.
Yeah, I mean, like, Cass is the only one with the brain. He's like, yo, leave it alone. So Big Cass, who is using his brain, tells him that none of that is his business. Enzo decides he needs to do something about this. Just then, they see Lana remove her ring and tell Rusev that the ring means that he's the only man who can have her. She drops on the floor and Rusev storms out. Enzo goes over and, spits some game. She tells him to meet her in the hotel room later. So we'll see where this is going. All right, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn for the 1 millionth time. Sami does every kind of move imaginable to Owens, but Owens gets the victory with a simple pop-up powerbomb. Chris Jericho is in the locker room. Roman greets him. He wants to know if he still has car paint on his forehead from last week. Jericho calls him a stupid idiot. He tells Jericho to get ready for this big match tonight. Jericho says, tonight is the night. Tonight is his night. Roman suggests that maybe Jericho is just doing Owens' dirty work for him. Let's see. What's her name? Is interviewing Sasha Banks. She asks, how does it feel winning the title again? How does she think it feels? That's a stupid question. Sasha talks about making history again and having an Iron Man match to see who is the woman with the, see if anyone has an iron deficiency or something. I don't know. All right, Rich Homie Swan versus TJ Perkins. The rematch clause will be in effect tomorrow night at 205 Live for Swan's newly won title. The 2 minute here of the code of honor. At one point, Michael Cole says, look at that deep arm drag, which begs the question, is there such a thing as a shallow arm drag? Swan hits a rolling thunder into a splash for the two count. Swan eventually gets the victory with a spinning kick as Perkins goes flying from outside in.
Yeah, he was trying to springboard into the ring, and he got caught with the rich kick.
Yeah. Bayley versus Alicia Fox. Bayley comes out with her Bayley Bears. These things are a license to print money. However, they are exclusive to the Slam Crate. Apparently, WWE doesn't like making money. Like, seriously, do you know how much money they would make if they sold these things like on the .com?
Oh, yes, tons.
Okay, so I guess the story, since we don't know, because like we only have 3 hours, they can't fit everything in there. Apparently, Bayley gave a bear to Cedric Alexander at some point. Alicia got mad, and now they're having a match. So, like, DD, if some hussy gave the dude that you like a bear,
mm-hmm.
would you be mad?
Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't fight her. I'd just be in my feelings a little bit. Because I'm not crazy. Because I'm not on meds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We got crazy. It's crazy Alicia.
And the meds that I'm on, I take the correct dosage. So I wouldn't do that.
All right. Alicia pounds on Bailey and screams, "I love him." Did y'all notice that? I mean, my little one that heard that.
No, I did not hear that.
She's like, "I love him, I love him, I love him."
That's awful, but hilarious.
Alicia hits the Northern Light suplex for a two count. The crowd does not care. Alicia's coming off super aggressive, which I love. Because I love Crazy Alicia. She's my favorite version of Alicia. Bailey hits a Bailey to belly and gets the victory against Crazy Alicia.
Oh, she's planted her ass, too.
Yeah. Okay, so backstage, Enzo is singing Bump and Grind. So I'm wondering, is he going to sing the entire 12-play album? Mm. Is that the plan?
He should have been singing something else later on in the evening.
Yeah. He should have been playing that, what was that other one?
So Contagious.
The one where he's... No, the one before that with was it Garcelle Bouvel on the video? Well, the other one with the Isley brother.
Yeah,
not So Contagious. The one on the next album.
No, I don't know. You got me there.
Download. He should have been playing the Download remix.
Oh.
remember when he got beat up in the video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so Enzo gets a provocative text from Lana, which is just a picture of her face.
But she was shirtless, allegedly.
That's not enough to get me running. I'm sorry. I need a little
it wasn't for you, okay? It was enough for Enzo.
I would have taken it back. That's nice. And moved on with my life. So, I'm very picky. Come on.
Obviously.
So he runs off because he's a sucker. Rusev appears and wants to know where Lana is. He gets in Cass's face. Oh, he shoves Cass. He shoves Cass and tells him he's going to see McFoley about putting them in a match tonight. Okay, so Titus O'Neil versus Mark Henry. Titus does the horns down to nuclear heat, especially in Austin. Henry hits the world's strongest slam against the pin in 5 seconds. Cole throws in a slight diss to Mr. Jim Ross, mentioning that that's usually what happens to the Sooners. So that was pretty bad. So we'll see what Jim Ross has to say about this on his podcast. Okay, so Enzo is in the back hollering at an Uber driver on the phone. The crowd chants, "There's no Uber," because in Austin, Uber doesn't exist. A limo pulls up in its Ric Flair. The two trade catchphrases, and Enzo is on his way. Okay, Chris Jericho versus Roman Reigns. Before the match, Owens finds Jericho backstage. Jericho tells him the state of his business, that he doesn't need him. During the match, Owens comes out and super kicks Roman from the ringside while the ref is distracted. Jericho hits the code breaker on Roman, but only gets a two. Jericho admonishes Owens and then shoves his former best friend and tells him to hit the back, man. When he turns back around, Roman hits Jericho with a spear and wins with a distraction finish. Is anyone playing the game tonight?
No, I'm not playing the game tonight. Sorry to disappoint everyone. But I was almost, they got me. I really thought Jericho was going to win when Kevin Owens came down there.
Right. What about you? Do you have some check or something? Some crown?
No, I got to wait till this weekend. After I have my Caucasian Christmas party, I'll have all sorts of liquors and libations. It'll be great.
Look at you. All right, so Kaz versus Rusev. Kaz comes out, Rusev's music hits, but there is no Rusev. After a few seconds, Cass realizes what is happening. He immediately jumps out of the ring, demands a phone, and dials Enzo's number.
He knows his number by heart.
Yeah, like I don't know anyone's number by heart.
I do. A couple people.
Yeah, you better.
Yeah, like literally two people, yeah. Yeah.
Is one of them your mama?
Yeah.
That don't count.
Yeah, my mother and my brother, that's all.
Apparently don't count.
That's all I got. Well, then no, I don't know anybody. Nope.
What you done? How many people you know by heart?
Nobody. If you catch me at the wrong time and ask me my phone number, I might not even be able to tell you.
Okay.
I know when CBS is calling me, I know their number. Now I got to get that birth control. Yeah, they'd be like, "Your birth control is ready. Thank you."
Your crazy meds are ready.
Listen, haven't taken those in 6 months.
It's not that type of podcast, okay?
And we don't call them crazy meds. That's rude.
And, okay. So inside the hotel, Enzo sends Cass the voicemail and knocks on the door of the ref, Shin Russian. So Lana opens the door in a robe. She invites Enzo in and he tells her that he's having second thoughts. She begins to cry. He follows her in and tries to console her. She has Enzo remove his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit of remorse here. So that's a good thing. I mean, at least he's not totally, you know.
He's a good Christian fella.
He's not a savage, is what we're saying. He's not okay. He's not that much of a savage.
He's not any bit of a savage because he knew it was a bad idea. Yeah. Savages don't be caring. They'd be like, "Oh, take off my pants." Okay, I wouldn't have even needed the invitation. They'd have been like, "How about I take off my pants?"
You should open the door.
I already unbuttoned. Like, you ready? I'm ready. That's a savage. Enzo ain't no savage.
As I said, he's not a savage. At least he's not a complete savage
at all. 0%.
Well, he was already willing to do it. He was already, come on, he was already about, he went to the door.
He knew it was bad at the door. Had she not opened that door, he wouldn't even knock. He's a good Christian fella.
So he's beginning to feel a little bit of remorse. He whispers sweet nothings in Russian in his ear. He asks, well, what does that mean? To which she replies, you're a fool. Then she calls her Rusev. And here you can visibly see the Frank Sinatra mugshot tattoo on his Enzo's right shoulder, which I thought was very cool. That's a cool picture.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, you can see him like turns into a sad face because he knew he was about to get his ass whooped.
No, I was looking at that tattoo. I'm like, I've seen that picture. I'm like, oh, that's the Frank Sinatra mugshot.
Yeah, you can see, you got a good shot of a lot of his tattoos. You got to see the warrior with the Wu-Tang.
Oh, the Wu-Tang, and then like the life one.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Enzo said he's just going to grab his stuff and go because I don't know what kind of freaky stuff they're into. Rusev tackles him and an epic beatdown ensues. Rusev gives Enzo the classic wrestler hotel beatdown.
He threw him across the wood table. I thought Enzo really got hurt there because he sold that one pretty good.
Right. So they toss Enzo out into the hallway and then close the door while Lana puts the do not disturb sign on. So is this how they get down? I mean, that's the only way they can have sex is if he has to beat somebody up first. That's what they get off on.
Hey, man, when you're married, things are different.
Right.
You're spending more time with each other than, you know, when you're just dating. You got to spice it up.
Right. Okay, Gallows and Anderson versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Tag team number one contender match. The New Day is at ringside watching the match on beanbag chairs. Everyone gets into it at ringside and the ref calls for the bell. Commentary asks who the number one contenders are. They eventually announce that next week will be a three-way tag match for the titles. That means New Day does not have to get pinned to lose their streak or their belts.
Where'd all that popcorn come from?
Didn't they have it with them?
Well, why'd they make such a mess with it? See, New Day need to stop perpetuating stereotypes.
They're messy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like, never mind. Okay, so Charlotte comes out. She says she knows that she treated her dad like crap, but she wants to apologize. After seeing the way he anointed Sasha last week, really hurt. Rick comes down, the two make up. And out of nowhere, Charlotte slaps the crap out of Rick and tells him that she is the woman, not Sasha. Sasha comes down for the save, but Charlotte gets the upper hand immediately and she beats the stuffing out of her. Charlotte leaves her lying and the show goes off the air as Charlotte taunts Ric Flair, telling him, there's your trophy. So good stuff.
Yeah, Sasha caught the biggest L ever. She caught the get one blow in.
Enzo caught the biggest L because he got the biggest L for the same reason, but in different contexts.
And in his draws.
What's up, Daniel? Did you just see what happened out there?
I did, yeah.
That was like the best strategy ever, right?
Why was that your strategy?
Because I've defeated AJ Styles 3 times, and now I get my guaranteed WWE World title match against AJ Styles, who I have his number, so I'm going to win the WWE World title.
But you robbed your closest friend here in WWE of his own championship opportunity that he would have had tonight.
I'm not worried about that. He would have done the same thing to me. We go way back.
Do you?
When I win the WWE title, to make it up to him, I'm going to give him the first shot.
You do realize that the only reason you ever beat AJ Styles was because Dean Ambrose was helping you.
I mean, that's a lot of people say that. I don't believe that. I truly believe I have AJ Styles' number, and I could defeat him for the WWE World Championship.
AJ Styles clashed you off the stairs last week. What are you talking about? Well, that you're in a neck brace.
Yeah, I'm a little beat up, you're right. But that wasn't a match, Brian. That wasn't a WWE World title match. It wasn't a match at all.
Can you picture yourself in a one-on-one situation with AJ Styles for the WWE World Championship, and do you think that's a good spot?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. I just saw Shane McMahon, and I'm going to get that opportunity this Tuesday on SmackDown Live for the WWE World Championship against AJ Styles. And like I said, Renee, I truly believe I have his number, and I'm going to win the WWE World Championship this Tuesday on SmackDown Live.
Okay, so it's SmackDown time. We all love SmackDown because why do we all love SmackDown, Dee Dee? Why?
Because SmackDown matters.
Yay.
Hash the tag. Okay, so this week's SmackDown is from Houston, specifically the Toyota Center.
Garbage.
I've never been, so I have to take your word for it. They show a recap of TLC, specifically Dean's match with AJ. Then AJ comes out. He's got a walking boot on his left leg, and he proudly shows the audience a picture of the hole in his tights from Sunday. And he said it looked good. AJ said he destroyed Dean, and it was worth it if it meant 1 week in a boot. However, the boot means he isn't cleared to wrestle James Ellsworth. Therefore, Ellsworth comes out. He accuses AJ of faking his injury. He says, either Daniel Bryan is protecting you or you're ducking me. And Ellsworth says that he's the only reason why AJ is the champion, which actually isn't true because AJ was going to win before Ellsworth came out and distracted him. So,
but look at
but, you know, facts. You know, who cares? So, what happens? AJ says that Ellsworth is delusional. He says everything that Ellsworth has is thanks to Dean, but you burned that bridge, and now Dean won't stop. And so Ellsworth's whole face is caved in, not just his chin. Chin jokes never get old. out comes Dean Ambrose. He walks to the ring, gives Ellsworth a dirty D's, and turns around and leaves all as his music plays. So all this took about 15 seconds.
Keith Snow H was all about that. She likes when Dean Ambrose is about that action.
She still love her Deanie. I mean, that disappearing headline. Anyway, next.
You just can't get it.
I can't help it. I can't help it. That.
Oh, wait, but you get on me whenever I do it.
You do it with everybody. I pick and choose my shade. You're just like everybody. Nobody gets a compliment. Nothing good ever happened everywhere. It's all awful.
Nobody's safe in these streets.
It's a tsunami of shit, according to you, which is fine. But it's not the same as what I do with Dean and his bangs. It's totally different. But yes, so the next match was Bray and Randy versus Heath Slater and Reno. Tag team rematch championship. But Bray and Randy won because Bray was about to hit the Sister Abigail, but he tagged in Orton, who hit an RKO for the win.
Yeah, he propped him up out of the Sister Abigail into the RKO. They did like a tandem.
Yeah, what he said was awesome. Backstage, Dasha asked Kalisto questions. Why would he want a rematch? Kalisto says it's because he has a speed advantage and speed kills. Like a drug. Next is Carmella versus Natty. There's a mic. Because she wants to say something before Natalya waddles to the ring. She says that Natty has been bragging about beating Nikki Bella up and accuses Natty of being jealous of her, of Nikki's butt, of any number of things, whatever. The match never happens because Natty comes out, tackles Carmella, and then Carmella runs away, and then Natty chases her to the back. While running away, Natty bumps into Nikki, and she's like, "You don't believe it, do you? Please, no. Very like Kevin Hart about it. And then Nikki just kind of looks at her like, bitch, and walks away, but she don't say nothing. So, is backstage again talking to people. And Corbin compares Kalisto to a mosquito because they get squashed when they land on him or something. Next was the Hype Bros versus the Ascension. Believe who won? Oh my God, it was the Hype Bros. They won with the Hype Rider.
The Ascension actually looked good here.
Mojo?
I mean, it's just understand it. Like, this is just what you should know at this point. Like, hey. See, he's okay because he's one of those people. He's like Sammy.
He's one of those people.
They're in a special section. Caucasian-ish. Not quite white. Get it? Right. So, he's great. Next was Miz TV. He interviewed Dean Ambrose. When he comes out with Maryse, Miz asks where his "You Deserve It" chant is. Because everybody knows they're overdone at this point. So he introduces Dean. Miz tries to egg him on. "How angry are you?" Something like that. And Dean's like, "I'm not angry." Miz hasn't ever seen him angry. He is surprised, though. So Miz accuses him, Dean, of using Ellsworth for his own agenda and says he deserves what he got. He said Dean also robbed them of seeing Ellsworth versus Styles tonight. Ambrose gets up, getting Miz's face, and he's like, "It's always surprising when someone deliberately tries to piss him off, like he's somebody to be afraid of or something." Whatever. So then Miz stands behind Maryse and reminds Ambrose of how he lost, but he says he has a gift for Dean Ambrose, the first ever Miz Participation Award, which is a framed picture of Miz and Maryse, this shady ass crowd.
It was funny.
Then decides to chant, "You deserve it." Like,
that was
how
great.
Shady could you be? They're awful. It's great though. So,
by the way, I tweeted y'all my the Bailey Bear gif. So proceed.
The what?
The Bailey Bear.
Okay, cool. So then Miz congratulates him for trying. Dean says he's about to try shoving the award down his throat. Daniel Bryan interrupts. Excuse me. Head ginger ale, sorry. Bryan didn't want Ambrose to attack Miz because he would rather see them in a match for the main event. The crowd goes, yes. And then Daniel asks if they're doing that because they want it to be an IC title match. The crowd goes, yes. So then he makes it official. And Miz is mad. But next up is Baron Corbin versus Kalisto. The things that happened, but Kalisto tried a tilt-a-whirl move, and Corbin countered it into the end of days for the win. Backstage, Nikki Bella bumped into Sophia Grace, who I thought was famous like a decade ago, but she's apparently still a thing. She's that little British girl that sang the Nicki Minaj. No, I know exactly who she is. She's the little girl who sang the Nicki Minaj song with her other little Caucasian friend on Ellen. Long time ago. Like, had to be 7-8 years ago. Forever ago.
She's the same size as Alexa Bliss.
Basically.
Hey, man. So, watch your mouth.
Anyway, so Nikki's out there sad. And the little girl's like, don't be sad. And she's like, I'm not sad anymore because you told me not to be. Yeah, whatever. So then there's a segment of Breezango giving American Alpha tickets. They're dressed as cops. So they're giving American Alpha tickets for being ugly, which isn't accurate, but is funny. So that led into their match, which was Chad with his biracial brother, Jason, versus Tyler. And Fandango came down with him. Fandango tried to get involved, so Jordan gave him a belly-to-belly on the outside. Gable won with an O'Connor roll into a bridging German suplex. I feel like that has other names, but whatever. It's fine.
Oh, can I interrupt for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay, so like while all this stuff was going on the Twitter machine, and it trended for a slight second. On the Twitter machine, Naomi retweeted a photo from Total Divas that excluded her but included Alicia Fox, who isn't even on the show anymore. So then she, you know, of course, you know, the internet went off.
Yeah.
Or Twitter went off. So I noticed that like while the segment with the little girl was going on, she was listing her favorite wrestlers. The first one she mentioned was Naomi.
Who loves Sophia Grace?
Yeah, little Aww, British girl.
That's cute.
So no, it was like because of like the firestorm that was happening. That's why they made her say that.
Of course, but at least I didn't ignore it. I was like, "Who cares, little black girl?" Which is what they normally would have done. So,
right.
At least
hashtag push Naomi.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, proceed. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Next is Dawn's Boo and her championship celebration.
Yes.
She comes out. She poses with the belt in weird ways I've never seen posed before. That might have been on TLC. Either way, she posed with it very strangely. She gets on the mic. She says, ding dong, the witch is champ, which is weird, but it works for her. She says something about Becky calling her a word that rhymes with witch, but what the little bitch now runs the whole SmackDown division. That made Don happy.
Talk your shit.
Yeah.
It's not PG.
Yeah, so then Becky comes out. She interrupts. She's like, yeah, I didn't get a job done on Sunday. I can't do the accent. But she couldn't stand that a petulant little girl was on top. And Alexa's like, you can call me whatever you want to as long as you call me the champ.
Ooh, bird.
He's like, I want my rematch right now. She's like, oh, you want it right now? Fuck your life. And so she leaves the ring, and Becky's just in there looking like she normally looks.
So get ready for like 80 more matches between the two of them.
As long as Alexa Bliss is stomping that ass out, that's 81 matches I'm here for.
Settle down.
Y'all are fun, too. Your main event of the night is IC Championship match with The Miz versus Dean Ambrose. Things, they happen. More things, they happen. Ambrose hit a suicide dive followed by a roll-up for a near fall. Miz counters with a DDT. Then Miz follows with some yes kicks, but Ambrose ducks the last one and hits his stupid ass shoot turn clothesline. Ambrose then goes up to the top, but Maryse kicks his leg out from under him as Miz distracts the referee. This leads to a flying knee by the Miz, but Ambrose kicks out. person ever, Ellsworth. He comes out to interrupt. Miz goes for the figure four. Ellsworth jumps onto the apron to tell the ref about how Maurice was cheating a second ago. But Ambrose counters into a small package, gets like a six count, all while the referee is distracted and nothing happens. So Ambrose gets up to see Ellsworth on the ring. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then Miz catches him with the skull crushing finale, and the Miz is still your IC champion.
Yay.
There's a big collective letdown when AJ came out in that boot, because I think everybody and their grandma was waiting to see him and James Ellsworth in this match this week. At least I know I was looking forward to just a straight up beat down. But they can hold it off now and keep James Ellsworth fresh, so that's cool. Sam, how many Sour Patch Kids do you give SmackDown? We didn't do your – how many Sour Patch Kids did you give Raw? We didn't get your number.
Yeah. Now, is the Sour Patch Kids a good thing or a positive thing or a bad thing?
It's your Sour Patch rating.
Okay, well, I guess it was actually – Raw was actually pretty good. It was okay. I didn't want to jump off a roof after watching it.
So we guess what, 5, 6 Sour Patch Kids out of 10?
No, that's way too high. That's like a 4 for Sam. Right.
And SmackDown?
What was it that Bret Hart said, 4 out of 10?
Yeah.
Which in Bret Hart language is perfect. Did you see that gif where like Daniel Bryan's smiling face? It says Bret Hart gave me a 5 out of 10.
Because he's notoriously low on everybody.
Yeah, because like he gets 4 out of 10 on everything. That's the joke. But okay, but yeah, SmackDown. Well, I don't remember it making me want to shove a hot poker through any orifice. So I guess it was okay.
All right, so another 4 out of 10.
Sure.
All right, we'll just jump into some 205 Live real quick. Noam Dar versus Cedric Alexander. Noam Dar gets the win with the running kick. Noam Dar has an in-ring promo after the match in which he dedicated the win to Alicia Fox. We had a Mustafa Ali video package. Then we had Rich Swann and TJ Perkins backstage. Perkins says that Swann got lucky. Swann says it's better to be lucky than good in their match that they had last week on Raw. Then we have Daivari versus Jack Gallagher. And in classic 50-50 booking, Daivari gets the win. And we had our main event, Cruiserweight title rematch with TJ Perkins on commentary, the Brian Kendrick versus Rich Swann. Perkins attacks Kendrick, and Swann hits the rich kick and gets the win. So that was 205 Live for this week. While you guys are thinking about checking out 205 Live, you should always check out CSPN.us. Click on the side of the page that says Keep Our Podcast Free and support our sponsors. Support Amazon. It's the Christmas season. Shopping is going on. Why not do your shopping through Amazon and at the same time support your favorite podcast? Do that through CSPN.us. Click on the banner on the side of the page that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Click on the Amazon links. Shop, and you can support The WrestleCast, Nova Score, Bad Advice Show, The Crown of College, and all the other Gridiron Gals, and all the other shows are here on CSPN. So Amazon is CSPN. Do it today. NXT, we have Tommaso and Ciampa. They come out for promo. They go through the crowd. They do like the RVD ECW thing where they go like through the crowd and say like 8 minutes to get into the ring. They get ready to talk on the mic, but Paul Ellering and the Office of Pain come out on the stage to cut their own promo. Then Dash and Dawson come out and they cut their own promo, but they actually get punked by the Office of Pain, and Ellering says that they want the next title shot. Then they have a vignette of Percy Watson. They show his old clips and promos from and matches from the original NXT. And then he joins the broadcast team with Tom and Cora. We have No Way Jose and Rich Swann versus Sanity, Eric Young, and Alexander Wolf because they sent Salt and Fuller to the back. They beat him up, actually. Eric Young beat him up when they came down to the ring and sent him to the back. They brawl on the outside. Jose gets attacked by Damo, who comes out of the crowd. He rolls him back into the ring, and Eric Young hits the wheelbarrow cutter, and they get the win. We see Stephen Regal in his office with Todd Dillinger. He says, Todd Dillinger comes to him and says, since he came up short last week, that he looks like he said he was going to like maybe leave NXT or resign from NXT. But Stephen Regal says that he's going to have 4 singles matches next week, and the winners will compete in a 4-way match to determine the number one contender. We get a backstage of the Sanity like leaving the building as I guess they're running away from the Damo guy. And we get this interaction between Asuka and Nikki Cross. So that was pretty cool. Nice little foreshadowing. Ember Moon alert for Sam, as we have Ember Moon versus Kimberly. Ember wins with a twisting eclipse. She basically like came off kind of off to the side and did like a kind of like a rotation. It was sick, as usual. And then we got the Samoa Joe versus Nakamura NXT title match from Osaka, Japan. Nakamura wins the match, of course, after he hits two Kinshasas to regain the NXT title.
No, no, was it actually like with their cameras, or was it like a fan shaky video that?
No, it was there. Okay. Yeah, they recorded it.
Because my God, like if I see another one of those, I'm gonna scream.
That's the old school ECW, man. That's classic.
Yeah, but it's not. Okay, it's 2016. If I see one more damn vertical video, I'm gonna kick somebody.
Well, I mean, that's everybody with an iPhone, dude.
Yeah, turn landscape mode. Landscape.
Nobody who has an iPhone records anything in landscape mode. It's only been a freaking 15 years, dude.
It's annoying. Stop doing that. Turn your phone around. I mean, come on. It doesn't take that much energy.
Nah, but they've got this cage match in Australia that they're supposed to be taping too. That's the one I want to see. Yeah.
You know, as far back as freaking when Diesel beat Bob Backlund for the title, they had a secret fan shaky cam in that one too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think it was a plant. I don't, because it was really quick. I mean, it was like within a day.
Well, wasn't that kind of like how they did?
Unless they wouldn't track that fan down or something. I don't know.
When they did Ron Simmons when he won the title against Vader, it was kind of something like that too, because it was like a house show. Did they? Yeah.
I don't think I saw that one. But did we ever actually get to see the actual match or no?
No, it was just like the ending. You get to see him just pin.
Okay. I remember like when Bret Hart beat Ric Flair for the title. We never saw that. But it did pop up. It did surface later on in an actual like VHS set. Like I think it was like Wham Bam Body Slam or something. Mm-hmm. So that actually they did record that with their own cameras. Mm-hmm. So was that it for NXT?
That's it, man.
All right. Lucha Underground. The show opens with a recap of the last few weeks. Dario Cueto is in his office. There's a knock at the door, and it's Angelico. He says he wants Mundo tonight, and he doesn't care if it's for the title or not. Dario says that the thing about it is that Johnny's lawyer is a shark, and Angelico threatens his own legal action. Dario says what happened to him was not his fault. It was not Dario's fault. Angelico agrees and offers to shake his hand. When Dario reaches, Angelico pins his arm to the desk and says, but it will be his fault. Dario offers to put Angelico in the Battle of the Bulls tournament. Angelico agrees and says when he's done, Johnny won't need a lawyer. He'll need an undertaker. Matt Stryker explains the rules of the Battle of the Bulls. Okay, there'll be four-way matches, and the winners will be something or other. I don't know. Just there's going to be a lot of matches, all right? That's all you got to know. Okay, so Battle of the Bulls match. Cage versus Tejano versus Joey Ryan versus Dr. Wagner Jr. While Melissa is doing her intros, Famous B grabs a mic and goes to introduce his client. But before he can, a melee ensues. Tejano brings out his bull rope and starts whipping people with it. Cage does a cool moonsault to the outside. The crowd claps the Terminator theme, as is par for the chorus with Cage. There's a Tower of Doom spot, which elicits a holy shit from the crowd. Famous B tries to get involved, but Cage catches him, picks him and Dr. Wagner up on his shoulders, and gives them both a Samoan drop at the same time. Cage grabs the bull rope, wraps it around his fist, and punches people with it. He finally pins Joey Ryan and moves on to the second round. So sexy star is in Dario's office. Cue Didi Jonay.
What is a sexy star?
Okay, so Dario says he's always admired her. She's a fighter. He says Johnny and the Wild Stallions took the Lucha Underground title from her. He wishes to give her a unique opportunity. She gets to go one-on-one with PJ Black, the only one of those gringos that she hasn't faced. If she wins, she'll get a title match in a steel cage where no one can interfere. She says in Spanish, that sounds like music to her ears. And she's about to leave, but then he stops her and adds that if she doesn't beat PJ, she'll never get a title shot again. Officer Reyes is in. Holy crap! What happened? Officer Reyes is in his boss's office. He says Dario knows, he knows that he's undercover because he called him a rat. She says she needs him in the temple because she trusts him. She no longer trusts Joey Ryan. He asks, "How can he go back?" She says that when his arm heals, he'll be there as a whole new man. She then presents him with a mask. Okay, so Sexy Star versus PJ Black. Vampiro says that she's overcome so many adversaries, which is not the way you say that. It's adversities. So this is more of the same crap. PJ Black beats up Sexy Star like she's a damn man or something. Man and Vampiro say, don't feel sorry for her because she likes it. She can handle herself. Jack Evans gets up on the apron and flings a baseball bat in the ring. The ref picks it up and Jack's holds Sexy up so PJ can super kick her. She ducks and he kicks Jack instead. Off the distraction, Sexy rolls PJ up and gets the victory. So distraction finish. Everyone take a drink of your water. Okay, so there's like a meeting somewhere in some dungeon. It looks like a meeting of the Snake Tribe. Cobra Moon is the queen. She says the tribe needs to return to prominence. They need to return to the man that deserted them. And she wants her two snake followers to bring her Drago. Okay, so Dario's in Matanza's cell. He asks him if he wants to be in the Battle of the Bull tournament. Matanza says he wants Rey. Dario says that when Rey returns from injury, he will have him. He says the dragon has taken his back and he too was blinded by revenge. He tells Matanza not to make the same mistakes as he made because it will cost him big time. So Matanza reaches out, strokes his brother's head and bashes his face against the cage. But then I heard a snap. So, but like Don says, that there was no snap and I'm just imagining things. So
he was just imagining things, folks.
Anyway, we'll see. Matanza reaches out and grabs the infamous key. All right, the Battle of the Bulls, next match. Marty the Mob versus Dragon Azteca versus the Mac versus Mil Muertes. Match. Mac gets a stunner on Marty and wins the match. Moving on to the next round. Nothing special here. And that is your Lucha Underground.
Not nearly as good as last week.
So what did y'all think?
Not nearly as good as last week.
Right.
But that one spot where Sexy Star does a Hunikarana off the top rope and PJ Black rolls through into like the roll into like that near fall, that was pretty sweet.
Right. Let's see here. Okay, so what do you have next? Because I have Final Battle, but
that's all you meant.
All right, Final Battle 2016. I actually watched this. Let's see here. So, all right, so Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara, I guess this was on the pre-show, which we always say no to. I guess so the Rebellion, Rick Titus, Kenny King, and Caprice Coleman, against the Motor City Machine Guns, which is Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, with Donovan Dijak. Like I said before, I don't know why Caprice Coleman still wrestles. He's been in there for like 15 years. He hasn't gotten any better. He sucks. So, but the Rebellion wins in 12 minutes and 22 seconds. Silas Young defeats Jushin Thunder Liger in a pretty good match. Dalton Castle with the boys defeats Colt Cabana. And Colt Cabana is doing like he's trying to heal him now, so no more of his okay, so now for the part with Cody. So they do first they have Brandy come out and they have her on the stage and they do like a tilt up. First they show her feet with her heels and they tilt up and you see her face and everything. She introduces Cody in the most generic manner ever. Like I thought they replaced her with one of the Raw robots. So I don't know, like maybe when you if you have a special announcer, I don't know, make them sound enthusiastic and somehow or different. I don't know what the point of that was. Maybe it was just me. So Cody versus Jay Lethal. Cody wins. I forgot how he... Oh, yeah, now I know how he wins. So he wins when the referee goes down. Cody looks at the ref. He looks at Jay Lethal. He looks at the ref. He looks at Jay Lethal. He kicks him twice in the balls and gets the ref to come to and gets the pin. And that was pretty much it. Afterwards, Cody cuts a heel promo and tears up the ringside area. He tears up the timekeeper table. Just, you know, just destroys everything. And then he grabs a beer and, like, pours it all over the poor referee. And that was pretty much that. Okay, so next we have The Kingdom, which is Matt Taven and TK O'Ryan and Vinnie Marcella. And it's Kushida, Leo Rush, and Jay White. And The Kingdom wins. Marty Scurll versus Dragon Lee versus Will Ospreay. I think Bobby Fish had a death in the family. That's why he couldn't be there. It was originally supposed to be a four-way match for the television title. But Marty Scurll wins. And I guess he's your new TV champion over Will Ospreay.
Oh, the villain. Nice.
Yeah. So the Briscoes against the Bucks of Young. The match is pretty good. This is like a really, really great match. The Young Bucks finally win after giving the Briscoes like 1,000 super kicks in a row. So after the match, as they're celebrating, the lights go out. No one knows what's happening. Then all of a sudden, a familiar face appears on the screen. It's Broken Matt Hardy. He appears and he cuts a promo on the Bucks of Young. So, you know, he will delete them. And of course the crowd just pops huge. They're all chanting delete. This is a really great pop. So apparently they're going to have their match. They're going to have a WrestleMania weekend in a non-televised match. So we're never going to get to see this. So it's whatever.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're going to show it on the Fight Network. I'm pretty sure of it.
No, well, since they had to basically take them away from TNA, and TNA has the same thing that WWE has, their people can't really appear on screen with anybody else. I mean, like, this whole thing with, like, Matt appearing on, like, the screen, that was, like, a special thing that they had to get clearance for. But unless they get some kind of special clearance, we're never going to see that match.
Well, that seems like they're not being smart with their business sense. They could really do a number.
Think about this. It won't really do anything for TNA, though, because no one's going to tune into TNA after seeing this. Okay. Unless they have a match there.
Well, so that's what you do. You do a return. You promise a return. One for each brand.
Hey, talk to Dixie. I'm just saying. But I can see where she's coming from, though. This is going to bring putting no money in her pocket, so that's when she's like, whatever.
No, I mean, what is she really concerned about? She's been robbing people for the last decade anyway.
You need to take that up with the Carter family, sir.
Yeah, I mean, she needs to stop blocking ROH's blessing.
Right.
It's Rachel Turner.
Okay, so Kyle O'Reilly against Adam Cole, no DQ match for the ROH Championship. Kyle O'Reilly wins. Pretty good match. This is a pretty good show. I enjoyed it thusly.
How many Sour Patch Kids?
Oh, this one gets at least a 6. Come on.
So it's the WWE label that automatically drags it down to Gummy Bear. I mean, Sour Patch Kid points.
Gummy Bear. Come on.
That's too sweet. No, I mean, sorry, that would be the D scale. We would use Gummy Bears.
Just, I did not. I was not into TLC at all. It just did nothing for me. Like, I mean, I've been to WWE events where, like, they come up on TV, like, horribly, but in the arena, it's lit. This was not one of them. Like, I went to a Raw show that was pretty dope, but then I watched it on TV, and it was like, well, it kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it just depends on the crowd. It just depends on the card, I guess.
Gotcha. Anything cool happen afterwards? Any shenanigans, dark matches?
Well, I did notice one thing. I noticed that they kept the pause on AJ Styles for a long time. Right, like an AJ Styles clip while like the TV, I guess, was going through replays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so like while all this was happening, while they held onto the pause in the arena, AJ was like leaving the arena, you know, hobbling on one leg or whatever, with the referee. Now when they went to sign off, they unpaused the clip, and it was a clip of AJ Styles holding up the belt on the ladder. So they kind of like held it there to make you think that he was still there.
Interesting.
But like I noticed things like that before. They do stuff like that. Like also it also takes away from it. I noticed like. You know how like somebody will like come to life out of nowhere, and get in the match when it's like a multiple person match.
Mm-hmm.
In the arena, that kind of takes away from it because you can see them getting ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole out of nowhere, because like especially like if they're supposed to be dead, but then they're kind of hanging around and kind of paying attention to not miss their spot.
Yeah,
on TV it can go much better.
You're supposed to be paying attention to the action in the ring, sir, not the action around the ring. Your focus is on the wrong thing.
Hey, if I wanted to just see that, I would have watched it on TV. I want to see all the stuff. I want to see everything.
You're not supposed to be that perceptive of all the events going around you, sir.
I also watched Triple H cutting a promo in the ring against, I think, Undertaker or somebody. So while the camera was on the Undertaker, Triple H turned his back and pulled out note cards from his tights. And then put them back in his tights, turned around and started and took his turn in the promo. I thought that was funny. So yeah, like you'll see stuff that you're not supposed to see if you watch the show. Didi, the time that you went, what did you see? Did you see anything? Any shenanigans?
Mm-mm. Everything I saw was what was on the TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nothing special.
What about you? What about you, Don? Did you ever go to one and see something?
By working, you get to see some of the pre-production stuff sometimes. So, you know, we get to see a lot of that, a lot of the things that they do, the pre-tapes. We get to kind of see them go through those.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
So do you get to see somebody like run in and hide under the ring?
No, I haven't been able to see that, but I did see when like they did something with like a car and they taped it earlier in the evening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like outside the arena, like John Cena was, you know, running out of the arena and somebody got in the car and took off or something.
I remember one time, like for one show I went to, there was Vince McMahon and Stone Cold, and like it was not on the televised show, but like Stone Cold and Vince, you know, this was back when they were in cahoots together. They came on the big screen and they just like started running down the town. I thought that was funny.
I heard Vince doesn't like to do that, though.
Well, I think it was mostly because like Stone Cold spent a lot of time in the, because it wasn't in Dallas, it was in my city, it was in Fort Worth. I am there in the 80s, and so that's why he knew specifically like what to say.
Got
and, Stone, and then Vince was like, "So we're in Fort Worth. It's called Where the West Begins." And he's like, and Stone Cold was like, "Yeah, it's like, but that's the motto of the city, Where the West Begins." And so like Stone Cold was like, "Yeah, like where like." Cow shit begins and all this other stuff, and started going in about how country the town was. But yeah, that was like, I never saw that on TV ever.
You know what I saw? They showed before NXT came on, they showed the clip of when Santa Claus got the stunner from Stone Cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was good. That was good stuff. That was good TV.
Yeah, like sometimes they'll, like, I think one time during commercial break in Chicago, Jericho started going in on Chicago. So when they came back from commercial, the crowd was already booing him.
Oh, yeah. He says he does that all the time.
Yeah.
He says that's what he did when they did the list, the 1,004 holes.
Yeah.
He said that he started naming the names of the moves. They went to a commercial break. He started I think they were in like Detroit. He said he started running down Detroit for like 5 minutes. He was like, then they came back from commercial, and then he like starts reading the list again, like he's been reading the whole time.
Oh, yeah, like another thing I noticed, like when I went to Raw, the Raw After Mania, during the show, but like when they cut to commercial, New Day would, Yeah, Xavier would get on the mic and just talk shit about the opponents, like on the house mic. I thought that was funny. And then I think one time when like Paul Heyman was cutting a promo about like the Undertaker, when he went to commercial, he got down on the floor and started saying, "Look, I'm the Undertaker."
Like he was hobbled and old.
No, he laid down on the floor, like in the ring.
Oh goodness.
He said, "Look, I'm the Undertaker." All right, so I guess that's our time for this week. Unless you guys got anything else?
Nope.
I know you don't, Edie.
No, nothing from New Japan. The World Tag League concludes on the 9th. Well, I mean, it's not over yet, so it's coming up.
Okay, cool. Nothing else from like the indies that I saw. Yeah, nothing else going on there. So, except for Colby Carino getting caught with a bag of drugs. But yeah, no, that's Steve Carino's son. Mm. He's been he was a young boy in ROH for a minute.
Did he get set up like Matt Bourne did?
Well, apparently what had happened was that he and like another wrestler were like at their house, and the cops were called in on a wellness check, and they found him like passed out with like everything, like shrooms, weed, heroin, everything, cocaine, like basically like they just had a big drug party.
Damn, they had everybody there but Rick James.
Right. Michael Irvin was in the other room. I don't know. Okay. So yeah, that was basically what happened there. It was just kind of like, so didn't someone else get caught with drugs recently that goes to New Japan? Like not Matt, not him, not Evan Bourne.
Somebody
like it was about
the
a week
dude
ago.
That does the Shooting Star Press. I can't think of his name. Ricochet's tag team partner.
Beretta? No, not him. That one we already knew about. There's another one recently, like in the last 2 days, that was going to Japan. And he got arrested here for something. And then like the question was, will this affect his contract in Japan? Mm. I forgot who it was though, but it doesn't matter. So I guess it'll be the end. We'll do shout outs. Don, you got any shout outs here?
Yes, I'm gonna give a shout out to my grandmother who will be turning 91 at the end of this week. I'm going out of town to go celebrate with her and all my family. So give a big shout out to my grandma D. Give a big shout out to all the people who joined us for the Rawcast, the Retrocast, as we watched Hardcore Heaven 99 on last Saturday night. That was a lot of fun. Good to see some old ECW angles. Bubba Ray on the mic talking shit. Unprotected chair shots, which are very cringeworthy. When you watch them in 2016, RVD and Jerry Lynn, fantastic. Jerry Lynn, broken nose, continues and finishes and has a 5-star match with RVD. So, yeah, good to go back down memory lane. And just everybody who supports, follows, and gets down with us here at the WrestleCast, just rate, review, share, feedback. You guys, give me some. I need help for the matches of the year. There have been so many good matches, I don't want to miss any of them. So I got to put that list together. So any of the help from the listeners would be greatly appreciated on my behalf. Thank you very much.
You know, Didi.
Shout out to everybody who's coming to my Caucasian Christmas party. Shout out to that's it.
See, look at you, so sleepy. You don't even know.
I'm not sleepy. I just ain't got it. That's it.
Well, I'll shout you out, Dini. Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, shout out to Dini. Shout out to Classic and Don and Greg out there somewhere. See, shout out to What Sleep Though, Unika. For she really disliked that hotel scene. Remember, Don?
Yeah. Miss B wasn't really feeling this week's Raw. She thought it was too much talking in backstage. So
right. So hopefully we can get her thoughts on that soon. Let's see. Shout out to BK Spidey, a new follower of the Razzlecast. Shout out to everybody who joins in on the hashtags. Shout out to Bricks Kitty. I gave the ROH final battle report just for her. Let's see, shout out to Willow Nightingale. Hopefully she can come back from injury soon. Shout out to Azali out there somewhere doing her thing as well. Shout out to Paige Turner. I won't be taking bookings until January, but hopefully we'll get to see her back in the ring soon. Let's see here. Shout out to Lady Nikki. Hopefully she'll be joining us soon. Of course, I said shout out to Classic Irony. Shout out to Mel. And that's basically it. That is the WrestleCast. We will see you next week. I may or may not be on, depending on what happens or if we can record on a different day or something. But other than that, we will see you next week, and we are out.
How did it feel last week to defeat Charlotte Flair in her hometown?
Wow. I mean, Charlie, if you can clearly hear from my voice, last week took everything out of me. And I mean everything. Last week was a whole nother level. A Falls Count Anywhere match for the Women's Championship. That's right, I walked straight into Charlotte's kingdom, and I walked straight out with the crown. Charlotte and I made history yet again.
You certainly did, but did you ever imagine you'd celebrate your victory with Charlotte's father, Ric Flair?
I mean, honestly, Charlotte does not deserve to live in Ric Flair's legacy. Charlotte wasn't crying because I was celebrating with her daddy. No, Charlotte was crying because the better woman won. Look, we all know Rick cost me the title at WrestleMania, and I understand why he did it. But the Nature Boy deserves better. That's why I dedicated my victory to him last week. And with that being said, as much as I despise Charlotte as a person, Charlotte as a competitor brings the greatness out of me. So I cannot wait to do it all over again.
Well, on the subject of doing it again, Charlotte said on Twitter, and I quote, "You need a good opponent to see how far your limits will go. Iron sharpens iron. I am coming back for my crown."
Her crown? Charlotte wants a rematch? Well, I don't want any excuses. Iron sharpens iron, huh? Well, at Roadblock, the end of the line, I say, how about we make history yet again? Charlotte, I'm challenging you to an Iron Man match. Because there's only one Iron Woman on Raw. And I'm going to prove once and for all that that woman is me.